To most riders, motorcycles represent freedom, adventure, and fun. But some bikers come together to form dangerous gangs. As the ranks of these gangs grew in the 1980s, the violent crime attributed to them increased. Like the mafia, their often criminal enterprise drew the attention of FBI organized crime squads, according to Cleveland FBI Special Agent Stuart Schoaf.
The motorcycle gang problem throughout the United States was fairly large at that time. We had a large chapter of motorcycle gang members here in Cleveland.
The principal biker gang in Cleveland made their money off drug dealing, theft of interstate shipments, and extortion. Like mob families, they protected their interests and their secrets with violence. Whenever multiple gangs developed in an area, tensions between them inevitably grew. Across the country, battles for control of territory were intense. When one gang struck against another, retributions always followed. An escalating cycle of wild aggression. In an incident that reflected how far the gangs would go, one biker gang blew up the clubhouse of a rival gang with a rocket launcher. These gangs would do anything to continue their criminal enterprise. Organized crime squads needed to stop them. Trying to develop information on the major gang in Cleveland, agents tried surveillance. But it wasn't easy.
This group knew that they were being watched by us and local law enforcement. When they had a meeting at their clubhouse, they would post a guard out in front of the chapter clubhouse and watch for any suspicious cars in the neighborhood.
The gang protected the people on their street from outside crime, so grateful neighbors would not talk to investigators either. The Cleveland gang might have guarded those in their own neighborhood, but not everyone enjoyed such safety. Around 10 o'clock on the evening of February 27, 1988, outside Cleveland in Perkins Township, 28-year-old store clerk David Hartlob and a co-worker had closed the music store where they worked. Hartlob was headed to a nearby bank to deposit the store's cash receipts. He didn't know he had company inside his van. Or that he was being tailed. For security, his co-worker always followed him to the bank, which was less than a mile away. Neither man noticed the dark sedan on Hartlob's tail. By the time they got to the bank, his co-worker had fallen 20 seconds behind. It took less than that to strike. Co-worker pulled up. He saw the van taking off. He spotted his friend down, but a man with a gun ordered him to leave. Several other customers came to use the ATM and were ordered at gunpoint to stay in their cars. Then the gunman ran off, leaving David Hartlob lying on the asphalt. In 1988, Perkins Township was a small town with only 11 police officers on the force. Within minutes, nearly all of the Perkins Township officers were on the scene. including current police chief Tim McClung.
The crime scene overall was very chaotic when I arrived. The paramedics were first approaching the victim. He was on the ground. He was struggling to try and right himself, obviously seriously injured.
Hartlob was in shock, but alive. The number of entrance and exit wounds and the enormous blood loss struck the paramedics. None of them had worked this degree of gunshot trauma before. The best they could do in the field was keep him breathing and stem the blood flow. David Hartlob made it to the hospital, but died 20 minutes later.